Blog Talk Radio.
Your smile.
How could I?
Hello, world. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. You're listening to Grey Eye Smith, and this is The Art of Seduction, a late-night poet's production. And we have anthologies available on Amazon.com under the same moniker of late-night poets. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. And tonight's show is based on a contest that Louis Wildove and myself ran, and it was called, it was a quote contest, and the quote is, "When you smile, I can feel all my passion unfolding. Your hand brushes mine, and a thousand sensations seduce me." And that was found on Pinterest. So, yeah, that's the gist of tonight's show. And I'm going to post the first poem into the group. And I will give this a read as soon as I check the studio for callers. Okay, so it's just me. All right, this is called The True Seduction, and it's by Marvin Goldfarb. The True Seduction. I can think of every lady's body parts, but that is not how Marvin starts. I could say, I am the man doing what I can. That would be mindless. That would be blindness. The true seduction starts with kindness. And that is just so truly stated. You know, kindness is the key to happiness and seduction as well. So I thought it was just a wonderful pen and excellent brevity. And Marvin, that was a fantastic write. And so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Doc Frank. And it's called Her Smile Speaks to Me. Her smile speaks to me. The moment opens in a diorama of impermanence breathed into visions for the first time. The pleasure it holds, and then whatever it is that pleasure leaves behind, like timorous wings. Let there be some uncertainty about your departure. Nothing was accepted. Nothing looked beyond. Nothing is remembered. Nothing forgotten. Disclosed the empty day. In the ground, glass haze of evening slipping away in the diminishing gaze. End poem. You know, that's beautiful that he references her smile as a diorama of impermanence breathed into the vision for the first time. I thought that was just a wonderful touch. It was a beautiful write, Frank. Doc Frank. Fantastic write. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here. Okay, here we go. This is by Orange Sage. And it's called The Heat of Black. And I'm just going to check the studio real quick here. Okay, it's just me. The Heat of Black. And even when he's miles away from her, she wears her black lace, barely dressing her flesh. Pink moonlight. Night slipping in through parted curtains, a scented breeze, sensually Banksia petaled, fingers stroking up thigh shaped to lacel floral mounds, restless summer evening, touching warm, damp skin, wishing, missing, thinking of him, emotions exposed to the melancholy room. End poem. Yeah, that was a fabulous write. You know, she's desirous, full of longing and want, need, restless summer evening, touching warm damp skin, wishing, missing, thinking of him, emotions exposed to the melancholy room. You know, just a haunting poem ending. And I thought it was beautifully done. And so I'm going to grab the next link here. Okay, here we go. this is by Poetic Picasso. And it's called Seduce Me. And he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play it up.
Seduce me. I feel the seductive sparkle in your eyes when you smile, even if it lasts in duration only for a short while. It's still so sexy and tempting, like a combustible fire, consuming me in a hot blaze with a melting desire. A wet gloss reflected at your teasing lips provoke the urge to be drenched with the mystic moonlight I evoke. A lustful night is the bliss of our sensual escape, feeding the erotic shuttles of an exotic shape. I can feel the wild howl of your passion with my stroke, as we bathe in your cosmic sweat of our bodies that soak, with the uninhibition of a lover's midnight tryst, and our hips get lost in the vapors of our erogenous mist. When you smile, I can feel all my pleasures unfolding, nothing to hide, nor nothing that I am withholding. Your hands are the feminine touch of an impassioned lover. A thousand sensations awaken my naked soul under the cover. Seduce me. Quiero ser tu ardiente llama en las cobijas de tu cama hasta que me vuelvo loco con tu suave sonrisa y beso. I want to be your burning flame in the covers of your bed until you drive me crazy with your suave smile and kiss. Olé. Olé.
Well, that was a fantastic read and a fabulous write. You know, he has the art of seduction down to a T. You know, it's easy to be seduced by these words. I see the seductive sparkle in your eyes when you smile, even if it lasts, and even if it is lasts in duration only for a short while, it's still so sexy and tempting, like a combustible fire consuming me in a white hot blaze with melting desire. And how powerful is that? Just, you know, charming, sensuous, erotic, a fantastically penned poem. Beautifully done, Frank. Okay, so it's just me again. All right. I'm going to post the next poem here. By Poetess Queen. And it's called Goodnight, Mi Amor. He looked at me, and I sensed that look of beggary, as if he knew my want and needs. His look told me of his prowess to color me in artistic form, which swept through me in an unabandoned pleasure, and I tasted his teasing voice as his hot breath abraded texture of my skin, cascading nakedness with wetness of his tongue, and nibbling as I trembled. Thighs quivered before exploding, tasting, as he flickered in wetness of me, whispering poetically his want. I gasped deeply, kneeling sighs, erupting hungrily like a spewing geyser as the earth trembled with me. I ride his firmness wildly, erupting together. nibbling me in an insatiable greed. I rise in momentum, each stroke he's devouring. Womanliness as waves of pleasure impinges, opening my petals like a bee, sipping nectar, gathering its honey. I breathe in his essence with mine, before curving within like a rose closing its petals, capturing fullness of him. I bloom, sliding to and fro, sighing, bathe in his whispers, mi amor, tasting with one last lick, dipping his fingers in my blue lagoon, sharing our orgasmic taste of us. Good night, mi amor. Yeah, that was beautiful. I mean, that was sensual and seductive, enchanting. He looked at me and I sensed that look of buggery as if I knew. He knew my want and needs. His look told me of his prowess to color me in an artistic form, which swept through me in unabandoned pleasure. And then me, in an insatiable greed, I rise in momentum. Each stroke he is devouring. Womanliness as waves of pleasure impinges, opening my petals like a bee, sipping nectar, gathering its honey. Truly beautiful. Excellent job, Poetess Queen. Yeah, that was a fantastic write. Okay, so I'm going to go up the next poem here, and I'll post this to the group. Okay, here we go. And this is also called Seduce Me by Amanda Liu. And I'll check the studio real quick here. And it's just me. Okay. Seduce Me by Amanda Liu. Your smile travels to your eyes, and I see you. See me for who I am. You see all of me, every bump, every bruise, and your touch heals me. All of me burns for you. And with one look, one touch, one smile, one laugh, I am yours completely. Skin on skin, and you own me to mold and make as you wish. Let your hands travel my entire body and create the person you would have me be. End poem. Seduce Me. End poem. Yeah, that was beautifully sensual and deeply passionate. You can feel the desire in her words that she has for this person. And I thought it was an excellent poem, very well written. And because he sees all of her, every bump, every bruise, and his touch heals her. So how beautiful is that when somebody's touch can heal you? Just a fantastic poem, Amanda. Thank you for sending that in. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. Okay. There we go. Oops, wrong link. Okay, I've got the next poem here. And this is by Incubus 2. It's called Laundry Labels. Silken skin on satin sheets, sweat steaming from seductive pores, aching to be tasted upon his tongue. In a series of slow, soft kisses, her salacious sighs from self-bitten lips becoming purrs of pleasure as fingers tease from her mouth, each fresh new playful moan with well-practiced, tender, tentative touches, running the length of his trembling thighs, nuzzling, nipping, nibbling, his warm breath caressing curves as his eyes find hers, watching, waiting, wanting, licked lips leaving his words in invisible ink upon her naked page as he thumbs through briefs reading the small print upon the label. Hand wash only makes him pause to smile as he tended tensing muscles with sensual massage, stealing her breath with his own as he pulls down her defenses and punk. I like that. You know, it's got a naughty but nice nature to it. Nuzzling, nipping, nibbling, his warm breath caressing curves as his eyes find hers, watching, waiting, wanting. Licked lips leaving his words in invisible ink upon her naked page. As he thumbs through briefs, reading a small print upon the label. Hand washing only makes him pause to smile. Yeah, beautifully done, Incubus. Excellent, right? And fantastic reading that for you. I appreciate your entry. Okay, so I'm going to check the studio real quick here. And it's still a little only me. All right. Okay, I've got the next poem here. This is by S. Sharp. It's called Sunrise. I rise like the sun over you, Mount Bromo, as my eyes broach the horizons of heaven and earth. Volcano steaming, danger and beauty has me reaching out in a morning tangle of sunlight upon the open lands of Indonesia. Rivers flow through earth's tender brown flesh. Warm wind smile brings us together. Holding your hand, I rise over the peaks of Java. I am the sun, and you are my world. Just a beautiful poem. The imagery is fantastic, and so is the emotional connection to the person that he speaks of. You can feel it in his words. There's desire and passion, a want and a need that can only be fulfilled by holding hands with his lover. And I thought it was just a wonderful, wonderful write. So Java is an island in Indonesia, lying between Sumatra and Bali. It's a volcano-dotted island. It's at the geographic and economic center of Indonesia. Huh. Fantastic poem. You took me on a journey, Sharp. Fantastic poem. Excellent, right? All right. I'm going to start the next poem. And I will post this to the board. Okay. And this next one is by Titus Luen. And it's called A World of Our Own. And he has a SoundCloud. Oh, I have a caller. Woo-woo. Hello, Bobby. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's just you and I.
Oh, really?
It's just you and I, Bobby.
Oh, my goodness, Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
All right. I think I can handle it.
Did you get a chance to hear Sharp's poem?
I didn't, but I read a little bit of it, and it looked like it was very lovely. I'm going to have to go back and reread it.
Okay, thank you, Bobby. Okay, mm-hmm. So I've got the next link up. It's by Titus Luen.
A World of Our Own. The glorious self-inhibition mercantile between emancipating souls embrace, surface body tension. Vapors compile suggest expediency, leisures to efface separating ourselves from the world we know to one that is so complacent, holding each other, our bodies unfurled, beholden to each other, both adjacent. Consoling time in what direction is this creation of everlasting love, emerging existence in our time? 'Tis purely bliss, feeling so real, for we are diverging the unknown, until the time that is now reflects the love our future did avow. Love's isolation was a smile from you, deciding not to leave paradise now. For we were not lost, but to find and to bring the blooming passion back. Wow. What you are doing, we are found able. 'Tis abundantly clear, this sermon thing. Thou hast fixed the earth firm, immovable. An object such as this I am holding, the pleasure-seeking optimal movement of come when you can. Unfolding the extent to which the inner cement, I mean truly the thrill we are holding. A blessing when the world comes to an end. What lies beyond us now, 'tis a godsend.
Well, you know, he did his magic with his SoundCloud again. You know, he has such a perfect reading voice for his poetry. And, you know, the poetry is touching and deeply intellectual poem. You can see his use of language in here. And the way he's mastered the art of using his language. I am holding the pleasure-seeking optimal movement of come when you can, unfolding the extent to which the inner cement, I mean truly, the thrill we are holding, a blessing when the world comes to an end. What lies beyond us now, 'tis a godsend. Yeah, that was an epic poem, Titus. What did you think, Bobby?
Very romantic, but also very philosophical. You are right. It is a very cerebral write. He wields his pen and his vocabulary with great skill. The way he phrases things, and thou hast fixed the earth firm, immovable, an object such as this I am holding, the pleasure-seeking optimal movement of come when you can unfolding. And the rhyme, I mean, the rhyme in this sneaks up on you. It is so subtle. Titus is, he is a craftsman, and the background music was just perfect. It was a very, very serene, very ethereal. And there's almost a reverence to this piece.
Yeah, I agree, Bobby. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem, if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby.
No, not at all. Okay. Let's see. And the winning number is... Okay. Seduction Style by Bella Russell. Okay, I'll open that up. Her seduction style will draw you in. You will lose your soul, and she will win. Sexy, sensual, seductive. Possessing an unbridled sensuality, all fall under her spell immediately. Enchanting, enticing, enthralling. From the first movement, from the first moment, for her beauty you fell, you began to crave her, and your fantasies swell, dreaming, demanding, desiring. All who meet her lose control of her beauty as they spiral into her carnal bliss. Instantaneously, unflinching, unwavering, unshaken. A dangerous lover makes your blood stir with her hips. She will fascinate you and scare you to death with her kiss. Charming, captivating, compelling. Desires of the flesh beckoning you to come near, longing for her touch to set you free is not clear. Engaging, ensnaring, entrapping. Each sensuous second you spend afraid in the dark of the night, every fantasy indulged until you wake from your dream with fright. It made you her next victim that she seduced you until the morning light. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And that was a delightful poem. You know, you can feel the power of this woman's seduction in this rite. She's sexy, sensual, seductive, enchanting, enticing, enthralling, dreaming, demanding, desiring, unflinching, unwavering, unshaken, charming, captivating, compelling, engaging, ensnaring, and trapping. You know, it's just a powerful force right there that, that can capture somebody in those ways. It's just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Bobby?
She's very clever. She's got sort of a spin on an acrostic here. Because if you look at the words grouped in between the stanzas, it spells S-E-D-U-C-E, seduce. And that is very clever. I noticed it immediately. And it's just the way she's got it grouped. I liked the structure of her poem. I liked the flow of it. I liked where her thought process took her in this and how she crafted this. This was very clever. It was very engaging. And I couldn't wait to see how it ended.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. This is by Fallen Angel, Fallen Brown-Eyed Angel. But it's called The Catalyst Is You. Like the petals of a red rose, passion and desire unfolds with your come-hither gaze and your beckoning smile. Your hand caresses mine, just as wind does to trees in autumn. And like the leaves, I fall for you. I am spellbound by numerous sensations. I feel the freedom of fields where horses roam. I am headstrong as a moth to flame. I am entranced by your heat and so determined to melt in you. What can I say? The catalyst is you. End poem. Yeah, this is beautiful. You know, it's got a nature appeal to it, where she compares herself to trees in autumn, and like the leaves, she falls for you. Just a very romantic, touching, engaging piece of poetry. What did you think, Bobby?
I liked it. I liked the fact, it's almost a brevity, I would say. We got 13 lines here, and that's it. It's very straightforward. It reminds me a bit of Martha Gettle's poetry. And it's passion, desire unfolds with your come-hither gaze and your beckoning smile. Very straightforward, very homespun. The way I think you would talk to someone, your hand caresses mine, and I'm spellbound by numerous sensations. It's almost conversational in its tone, which I think makes it very engaging, because it does speak directly to someone, and I like the way it's done.
Absolutely, thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here, and if you wouldn't mind when you see it, please, Bobby.
Not at all. Got tag team poetry going here tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't mind. I rather enjoy it. Okay, let's see. We have Touch by Avery 1421. Buzzed fiber, silk, satin, cotton, claret liquid pulsing, wood of masculinity, smooshed pillows, crumbled bed sheets, sweat, arches, size, exploration of flushed curves, fingertips, tracing tawny, rigid, quick, under midnight's moon. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, this is a descriptive poem on the subject of crumpled sheets and pillows, smushed pillows. You know, you can figure out what happened to get it that way, and I thought it was very well written. What did you think, Bobby?
I thought it was a very interesting piece. If you look at it, there's really no verbs in it. It's all we've got nouns and prepositions and adverbs. And adjectives, but no verbs. And that is trick. I mean, you've got a visual imagery here, You've got implied action, which it makes it a very a subtle piece, and it leaves interpretation to the eye of the reader, which I like poets that do that because it implies that the reader has an imagination and can think for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay. Oops, wrong link. Okay. And this is called, sorry, one second. It begins with a smile by Forgotten Dreams. On the faded slate couch, blushing lips stretch into a lopsided smile. My sienna eyes follow the pink curve of the vermilion border up to dimpled commissure. My hammering pulse matches the base of trembling laugh. Sunshine voice pours warmth. My eyelids shut, drinking it in. Chest expands like petals unfurling. Tendril fingers stretch, grazing the inside of my pale wrist, and jolts like miniature earthquakes shake across my body. Skin flushes as a sunset as knees turn to touch, hands exploring like archaeologists, sweeping from nape to shoulder, down the swoop of hip, pausing on humid thigh. Foreheads pressed together, mirror mouths grin and meet, soft butter melting, sizzling, caramelizing into deep flavors. End poem. That was beautiful. Very descriptive and engaging. It's seductive and, you know, it's enchanting. You know, it has a feel that makes you melt as if you are the butter sizzling, caramelizing into deep flavors.
I like the way it's a progression. A lopsided smile, then the hammering pulse, then the tendril fingers, then the skin flushes a sunset as knees turn to touch. It's a progression. It's great storytelling, and it takes you right down to a beautiful ending, which is soft butter melting, sizzling, caramelized into deep flavors. Great ending. Visual imagery is beautiful. A very sensory oriented piece. I thought it was very, very nicely done. Very subtly sensual and seductive.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I'm going to post the next link, and this is by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud. But we have a caller.
Martha.
I'm clipping this person on. Hello, area code 760. Who's calling, please?
Hey, Gray. It's Sharp.
Hey, Sharp. How are you?
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Just thought I'd join you guys for a few.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
That's appreciated. Did you get to hear the poem by Forgotten Dream?
I did not. I just got on again. So I kind of got knocked off, and then I said, I'll just call in.
Yeah, oh, I see. Okay. All right.
Good
well,
for
thank you for calling back.
So I'm going to look at
I
it.
I appreciate
quick,
it. So. Okay. So, I don't see the link. Oh, right. Martha doesn't have a SoundCloud. Would you mind reading for Martha, Bobby?
Read, but I won't
or Sharp.
Say.
Actually, Sharp, would you mind?
Okay. You sure?
This is
Martha.
Would you mind reading that?
SoundCloud? She always has SoundClouds.
No,
this
she
time.
Doesn't actually on this one.
Okay. I'm shocked. I've never ran into a Martha poem that didn't have a SoundCloud. Okay.
I know,
let's
right?
see her. It's the truth. Let's see here. Give me just a second. Okay, so everything about you makes me smile. Everything about you makes me smile. I love to rest in thoughts of you a while. The look in your eyes, the touch of your hand gives my heart a place to stand, to stand. You look, or you took the dark places of my life and brought to me the golden sunlight. And I live in the light that shines from you. You give me all I need to make it through. You and your love bring the light to my day. I'm always thinking about you some way. When you say that you love me, I have all my heart could ever need. Your sweet voice soothes my every care. Baby, with you, my heart, I'm walking on air. Life looks better than it ever has before, and my heart could never love you more. You and your love bring the light to my day. I'm always thinking about you some way. When you say that you love me, I have all my heart could ever need. So kiss me, baby, and whisper you're mine, and I'll be yours until the end of time. I hear my heart beating your name, and we burn together in love's sweet flame. End poem.
Excellent read, Sharp. And it was a fantastic write. You know, her poetry is so engaging and endearing. It's filled with love and reverence for her partner. So kiss me, baby, and I'll whisper you're mine, and I'll be yours till the end of time. I'll hear my heart beating your name, and we burn together in love's sweet flame. It's just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Bobby?
Thinking about the piece, and I don't know why this didn't occur to me before, probably not, it probably did subliminally, how we have poets that grace the show with their pieces, like Martha and Salwa and Frank and Titus, all have such distinctive styles. And Martha's style is very much like Salwa's, is very gentle, very loving, very down to earth, very relatable. And this one is, again, and your love bring the light to my day. I'm always thinking about you in some way. When you say that you love me, I have all my heart.
Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Sharp, what did you think?
I agree with Bobby that she's so relatable. I actually kind of enjoy hearing it in her voice rather than mine, but I really did like the lines, your sweet voice soothes my every care, baby with you, my heart, I'm walking on air. You know, those just kind of give it an uplifting feeling. And, yeah, I agree with Bobby that she's just very relatable and the words that she writes in every poem, not just this one.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Sharp. Okay, Bobby, I'm posting the next poem, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Let's see, who we got? And Peter
Allen.
The Lip of Isabel. Okay. Oh, what a pretty picture. Peter Allen, Song of Isabella, okay. My darkness bleeds into the bright blue sky. Tight ropes unknot and unfold. Slowly I ascend back to me as tides unravel waters of the sea and opaque green. Blur on the water's distant reaches. She sailed back from yesterday's dream. A symphony of seabirds orchestrate her welcome. Isabella, my graceful Andalusian woman. Black waves in her hair copy the sea. Flawless skin bathed in shadows, bathed in shades of golden honey. Lips like two dew-dropped burgundy roses. Flaming starlight burns within her eyes. We met on Poemas del Alma, where I write in Spanish. I take her around castles where ghosts of brave knights roam. Then afternoon tea at the Bridgerton Hotel. As an easy evening begins, she rests like Athena in repose. I fill the air with sensuous music of romance. Luis Miguel, Christian Castro, Alejandro Fernandez croon. The night begins with the slow rhythms of bolero and ends in wild frenzy of Argentinian tango. Seducio por las aguas del mar y las palabras de la poesía. ¿Cuál es poesía? Which is seduced by the waters of words of poetry.
Sorry. Wow, beautiful. Beautiful read, Bobby, on that. You know, he did wonderful with the Spanish. But no, I mean, this is very thoughtful and engaging. You know, it's dreamy and it's enchanting. You know, it's you can picture her, Isabella, my graceful Andalusian woman, black waves in her hair, copy the sea, flawless skin bathed in shades of golden honey, lips like two dew-dropped burgundy roses, flaming starlight burns within her eyes. Yeah, just a beautiful, engaging, right? What did you think, Sharp?
I agree. There's some really awesome lines here right from the beginning. I really like the tight ropes unknot and unfold. Slowly I ascend back to me as ties unravel. Kind of gives the feeling that she's like leaving him at the moment or something. Really compelling, right? Also, just for me personally, as a poet and a reader of poetry and stuff, I love allusions. I actually love having the time to look them up and fully engage in what the poet was trying to say, which I haven't had a chance to do on this poem, but I'm sure that I would more than likely really like Peter's poetry just because of the fact that it appears to me he engages in that type of writing. So yeah, I'm very impressed. The whole thing's really well composed.
Great comment. Thank you, Sharp. And Bobby, what did you think?
Very romantic. This is a poem of adoration. The writer is clearly enraptured by every aspect of his beloved. He could go on and on, and does a little bit because he just is so taken by all that he sees in her. And it talks about the afternight. Take her around castles where ghosts of brave knights roam, then afternoon tea. And it just, this is a day that's just saturated with sensuality and happiness. And this is a beautiful lyrical write. You could almost put this to music.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And that was an excellent read, Sharp. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Kay Heartless. Oh. Hold on a minute. Trying to get the link here. Okay, here we go. All right, I'm going to post this in. There we go. This is called Every Time by Kay Heartless. Every time. Every time you smile, an unfolded love letter. Black, familiar curves, in combination, treasured. I never tire of reading your body language. A ravine, a ridge, your suggestive tone, a word banquet. And through your pen, your hand brushes mine. Let love's pink tip satisfy a turn on mine. End poem. Yeah, beautiful, right? Excellent read. I mean, excellent, right? It was engaging, you know, it was passionate. desirous, filled with love and ecstasy. What did you think, Bobby?
I like the way he is likened his lover to a letter. Every time you smile, an unfolded love letter, black familiar curves in combination treasured. I never tire of reading your body language. And talks about through your pen, your hand brushes mine. It is comparing the lover to literature, to poetry, to writing, it's beautifully done. The metaphors are quite lovely, and this is a very nice brevity, very very engaging, very romantic read.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Sharp, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. I like the love letter part, but I also really like that second stanza quite a bit, where it's kind of comparing it to parts of the earth itself, and then switches back to poetry, so, you know, your suggestive tone, a word banquet, just really well worded. It's a really nice poem altogether.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and it's by Weaver of Dreams, and she has a SoundCloud. So we'll play that.
Love is a heady, endorphin-filled, serotonin-induced fever that leaves me vulnerable, open, longing, hungry, hot. I need you near me, to feel you, to taste and touch you. There is an ache within that you can reach but I cannot. Darkness adds an extra dimension to our meetings. It makes the needs and wants between us grow. There is no right or wrong. There is only you and I. So I want the pace of our passion to be slow. Why are you the one who turns this eager body of mine into a shivering, quivering, quaking, pitiful mess? I am helpless in the aftermath, wanting more and more. Then you smile at me and quietly dress.
Well, it was a lovely SoundCloud. And, you know, this is a loving and engaging, right? There is an ache within you, within that you can reach, but I cannot. Darkness adds an extra dimension to our meetings that makes the needs and wants between us grow. There is no right and wrong. Well, there's only you and I, so I want the pace of our passion to be slow. You know, she needs a lover with a slow hand and an easy touch. beautiful, right? Excellent read. What did you think, Bobby?
Very subtly erotic. Nothing Blake. Very love is a heady, endorphin-filled, serotonin-induced fever. What a great opening line. It captured it all. The expressions, I need you near me to feel you, to taste and touch you. The writer has captured all the desires and drives and urges that we feel when we're in love. There's that imperative to contact, to touch, to hear that person, to see them, to just be in their proximity. And she's got that. The first stanza got that darkness as an extra dimension to our meetings. It gives it a seductive feeling to it. And and the ending was quite subtle. I'm helpless in the aftermath, wanting more and more. Then you smile at me and quietly dress. I'm surprised that the next two words were, oh, damn. That is a charming ending, but just a beautiful brevity, really nicely done.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Sharp, what did you think?
I'm going to echo some of what Bobby just said, and the fact that the craft of poetry is creating the feeling that's being transmitted and stuff. And that first line kind of is like the fast beating heart that you have, the crazy feeling and love. And I just love that first line because I think it kind of creates the feeling that's intended in the poem, and then follows it with the idea of being vulnerable and all those other things that I think go along with being in love. So it's an amazing poem in its entirety, but I definitely love the way it's created at the beginning.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think of the poem? Or did I get you? I already got you, didn't I?
Yeah, but thank you for asking.
Okay. I'd rather ask twice than miss once. Okay.
There you go.
So I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading, Sharp, please.
Okay, give me just a second. Okay. All right. Ecstasy. I sneak in through your window on a humid summer night. In the cover of darkness, you've been waiting up for me, skin burning hot with heat and desire as our bodies entwined become one. The taste of salt lingers on my lips. I can smell the alcohol in your breath. You go deeper while I shake with pleasure, a feeling like no other, pure ecstasy. I'm at your window again. This time in the middle of the day, we drive for miles in my car, hearts racing with youthful exuberance. As the city disappears behind us, the road ends by a small lake where no one goes to swim or fish. We take a nearby trail into the woods, enveloped in the darkness of the forest, where you push me up against a tree and enter me. Now a fixture at your window, I once again climb inside. Remnants of a party are there. Beer bottles litter your room. The air is thick with angry words. But in a moment, I will forgive you because you're sorry. You said so. And we make up by going outside. You sit me on the hood of my car where the neighbors can see and hear and make sweet love. End poem.
Well, excellent read. And, you know, this is a naughty poem, you know. This is a naughty girl sneaking into windows at night and, you know, doing the things that she does where she's doing them. Just a passionate, erotic piece on the subject of coupling with a partner. I thought it was just an excellent write. What did you think, Bobby?
I like the subtle humor of it. It takes the act of love and reminds you that there are some comical aspects to it, like the picture at the top getting through the window, which is, it just kind of sets up the whole thing. Beautiful. It's a beautiful narrative. It's great storytelling, and it reminds you of how young and foolish should probably be just one word, because it talks about, and you, clearly these are youngsters that are just, they're smitten with each other and you can't, but that last stanza has got me, I'm looking at it kind of going, the air is thick with angry words, but in a moment I will forgive you because you're sorry you said so. And we make up by going outside. You sit me on the hood of my car, and it also reminds us that there's going to be disagreement, and it's up to you to make the judgment call as to whether this person is going to stay in your good graces or not. But and he lets you know at the end. There's a little bit of an exhibitionist in both of them.
Yeah, I'd say. Thank you, Bobby. Great comment. Okay, you're up next to read, Bobby.
You going to ask Sharp what he thought? Or we lost him?
Oh.
No,
I thought I did. Sharp, what did you think that you read?
Actually, I really like the relatability of this poem, because I'm going to guess anybody at almost any age above puberty have some ability to this poem. And the middle stanza and everything, I think, is something that almost anybody could relate to, probably a time driving to that one spot that everybody can recall, you know. And in this case, it's the road ends by a small lake where no one goes to swim or fish. But, you know, I think all of us can probably in some way, shape, or form picture our high school years and going off somewhere with someone. So yeah, I really like the poem overall. It's a nice poem.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Sheriff. And thank you for the heads up, Bobby. Okay, you're up to read.
Oh. All right. I was lucky. I had a boyfriend with a basement. All righty. Oh, I am up, aren't I? Okay. Never mind. Okay, Wild Hearts. And the quote at the top was the prompt. It was for a contest. The stars in his eyes hunted her down, but he fell prey to the wild in her heart. He was a lone wolf, always had been, not because he enjoyed solitude, but because he had tried to blend into the world before, and people continued to dislike him. Truthfully, he found that he could only like them if he had a chance to peer deep into their hearts. Excuse me. Otherwise, he was unable to live in society. He had no need to. He was sufficient for himself. Still, he felt incomplete, lacking something, as though there was a piece of him missing, and he relentlessly sought that missing piece in every pair of eyes he gazed into. She didn't abide by the rules, never had. She was someone who didn't know her place, or if she did, she simply didn't give a damn. Sometimes she would sit alone under the stars and think of the galaxies of passion inside her heart and truly wonder if anyone would ever want to share the essence of all that she was. But still, she felt incomplete, lacking something, as though there was a piece of her missing, and she relentlessly sought that missing piece in every pair of eyes she gazed into. In the calm, deep waters of the mind, they waited. Inescapably, the day came when their individual hungers, their desire and need drove them out of the woods, and the two pair of eyes at last found each other. The stars in his eyes had tirelessly hunted her down, and he ultimately found her, that one out of the many. Instinctively drawn to the lambent mysteries in her eyes, he was ensnared inescapably by the wildness in her heart. End poem.
Well, beautiful read. And, you know, this is a gorgeous read. It's it's filled with passion and desire, you know, and this being the outsider and finding somebody to be inside with. I thought it was just a haunting rite full of love and reverence and respect. Beautifully done, Bobby. What did you think, Sharp?
During the stanza about the mail, I literally thought, wow. You know, she's writing about me in many ways.
You thought that good. I'm glad.
No, I mean, I was just like, wow, this is really interesting. You know, the part of not because he enjoyed solitude, but because he had tried to blend into the world and people continue to disappoint him to some degree. You know, I feel like that, like, echoes me. And so I was instantly pulled into the poem for sure and stuff. And, you know, as I go on and, you know, I love the juxtaposition of the two, before ending off the poem with them coming together and him discovering the wilderness in her heart. So I think it's a great write, and even more powerful to me because I personally connected to it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Sharp. Would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
Actually, as oddly as he identified to the first portion of it, the second portion of it is somewhat autobiographical. She didn't abide by the rules, never had. Or if she did, she simply didn't give a damn. And that's pretty much me. Always had looked for someone to complete me. But related to the first part of it too, I had never able to live in society. I had no need to because I was sufficient to myself and people would disappoint me. So I kind of felt myself through this whole thing. And to find someone who you are willing to let down the barriers for and let in. I took, like I said, the prompt was the picture at the bottom, and he found her and was drawn to her eyes, but was captured by her heart, and I think that pretty much describes it. When you find someone that you can really relate to. The physical beauty may attract you, but their spirit is what keeps you.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and this is by Lawrence67, and it's called When You're in Love with the Bitch Next Door. Adventures of Nigel, the Fat Cat, and his homie, Elfie. Elfie, the one I adore, I'm in love with, the bitch that lives next door, Nigel. But Elfie, no, that bitch is a whore. She gives it up to that black Labrador. I heard she rode it until she got saddle sore. That bitch is hardcore. She had 101 Dalmatians for an encore. From Chihuahuas to St. Bernards, she has been known to frequent the boulevards. And just in case, try to remember you're not the same race unless you transgender. Your mind must be in a fog because you're a cat and she's a dog. End poem. And he says in his author's notes, Dr. Hooks, when you're in love with a beautiful woman. I have built it. Okay. Yeah. But no, that was comical for sure. You know, this cat's in love with the dog next door, and the dog's a whore, so she shouldn't be. You're fantastic. What did you think, Bobby?
It doesn't sound like romance in the animal kingdom's any easier on them than it is on us. This is so clever and so I can't say it's whimsical because it's not, but it is very a lot of very dry dark humor. What was the St. Bernard? She has been known to frequent the boulevards. Did a great job rhyming. It is very funny.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree. Thank you. And, Sharp, what did you think?
I'll just start off with, doggone it. realistically, I love the stanza of the Chihuahuas, Bernards, and the Boulevards. But I love the one right before it as well. The bitch is hardcore. She had 101 Dalmatians for an encore. It's creative. It's entertaining. It had me smiling throughout. So.
Absolutely.
Great comment, Sharp. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. And I'll post this to the group. And would you mind reading that, Sharp, please?
All right. So the color of love. Our love, as fragrant as a rose, still wearing the morning dew. The whole world stops. There's just me and you. Our love, as fresh as the blue ocean breeze blowing through your hair, the rhythm of autumn leaves. Our love, as warm as a tropical forest, kissed by the noon rain, the sound of nature's chorus. Our love, as brilliant as the northern lights, a picture window of heaven, euphoric as at its sight. Our love, like the magic of a rainbow, casting its spectrum of color. You can't have one if you don't have the other. End poem.
That was a fantastic read, Charp. You know, this is a touching poem. It recounts their love five times, you know, as fresh as the blue ocean breeze blowing through your hair in the autumn, the rhythm of autumn leaves. As warm as a tropical forest, kissed by the noon rain, the sound of nature's chorus. You know, beautiful, right? What did you think, Bobby?
Very skilled. You get something that I didn't get for a long time, and some poets never do, is that she's got great assonance going here. If you listen to most contemporary songs, you listen to the lyrics, and they're not perfect rhymes, but they've got the influence of the assonance in there, and she has that in her rhyming scheme, and it's beautifully balanced. I like the very short, it's punctuated with our love at the beginning of each stanza, and then she gives a little description afterwards. I think it's very touching, very old-fashioned. It has a sentimentality to it that is quite appealing and endearing.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And, Sharp, what did you think of the poem?
Yeah, I love Bobby's comment on the assonance. Really insightful on that. I love the way the poem ends. Just in general with the rainbow and the spectrum of color, and that you can't have one without the other, kind of, you know, bringing it all together as far as, you know, having love and having everything that you would want in the thing and are in a relationship. So really nice poem overall.
Great comment, Sharp. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Ready? Is that the one by Lou Yu?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. Lips, Goblet, Appetite by Lou Yu Wild Dove. Dripping golden, hot, saturated sacrifice. Addictions, addict, tongued dragon. Slick, swollen lips glisten in blood red. Luring between curled path seductions, dip in the slow jungle, teeth suction, hungrily nibble, legs as doors shoved open, vicious hunger's platform, my goring chin, torching, moaning beast, burning blood, groaning fest, destroying thoughts, reasoning, writhing screams, hips rock protest. Salacious pitched pleasures, madness, liquid juices measure. Narcotic fleshy magnetism, swelling rhythmic eruption. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, this poem paints a picture in your head that's quite R-rated. it's very sensual, erotic, and just a passionate pen. What did you think, Sharp?
Yeah, it's got a lot of intriguing images to it. Definitely a very passionate session they're having here. And, you know, definitely has quite a bit of alliteration throughout it that also kind of gives the poem a specific sound to it. So really passionate right overall. And, definitely creates images in your mind.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Sharp. I appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. And this one's from myself, and this is Gray Eyes Smith. It's called The Finest Vintage. In the finest vintage, you are cloaked, long and sleek, with a fruitful, oaky note. I inhale you as my mouth begins to water. My mind stirs, but I am a lamb to your slaughter. Finally, as you fill my glass, I think, oh my God, is your potency too much? Will I end up on my ass? With each and every molecule of your smooth and silky red passion, I roll you on my tongue like a master. I begin to both collapse and take flight within, collapsing deeper into you, knowing with each sip you'll take me sky high. These are just my thoughts. Do I dare pop your cork? End poem. End poem. So, yeah, what did you think, Bobby?
And I've commented on it earlier. I said, it's such a delicious brevity, one sensual double entendre after another. Very, very seductive and steamy and fun. With each and every molecule of your smooth and silky red passion, I roll you on my tongue. I'm going to call you the sensual sommelier. I really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Sharp, what did you think?
I really like the idea of that it's kind of sacrificing yourself to trust, the lamb to slaughter, but at the same time, you know, obviously not anticipating slaughter. Yeah, there's some really great images within this one as well that, like I say, they stand out. And, you know, and then just a little edge to it as well with the too much, will I end up on my ass, and those kind of things too that kind of bring it more into I don't know how to say it, but just like an everyday feel, you know, rather than a poem. You know what I mean? I don't know how to say it and make it sound right, but.
Folk wheel.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for filling in for me, Bobby. but no, overall, it's
have vocabulary will travel.
Yeah. Thank you. But yeah, it's a really good ride. It just, you know, like I say, I was just struggling for the words. So, but yeah, I really like it.
Great comment. Thank you, Sharp. Okay, Sharp, you're up next to read, please.
Which one is it? Mine?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Almost. Oh no, that's the. I was offering that up for the Monday night. This one really doesn't have anything to do with passion.
Oh, I see.
I was offering that up to you for Monday nights. We can do it tonight. I'm okay with it, but. It has nothing to do really with passion. Actually, it was written for that E.E. Cummings thing that is for the site itself.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you can go ahead and read it. I mean, you know, we're into the open poetry part anyway.
Okay. Do you mind if I just play the SoundCloud? Because I think it'll be better.
If you could.
Than me
sure.
Just reading it off of that. Yeah. So here, I'm going to try to play that instead. Uh-oh. Why is it not working? Oh, in just a second. Yeah, I'm going to start over again. There we go.
All the world.
Why is it not working? Oh.
Really,
I'm going to start over again. I guess I better just read it because it's not going to, this isn't going to work while I'm on the thing with you, is it? All right. I'll just read it.
Okay, great.
And just, I'll get back to where where I want to be, but I'm not at it. So let's figure out why I'm lost here now. There we go. All right. All the world seems the muse, sick, but not really ill, will be heard. They are all abuzz and hives. Song in nature play to sing, bars a few by waggle. Over under between thy note, my song meander, do thee haggle. So well, so long, so at best. Ho hum, hum ho, rhythm and blather. Skin drums, jazz cats, ways a mini, harmony, boo boo, cymbals a clatter. Maestro plays, not to be outdone, birds fly to new octaves and nest. Ho hum, hum ho, rhythm and blather. Trees, amphitheater, nature, da da dum. A breeze section. Why must we isolate everything? Winds exhale. Even unicorns have horns. Detached, attached, strings abound. Chorus, melody, astound. End quote.
I like it. You did a fantastic reading on that as well. But your opening, the muse, sick, but not really ill, will be heard. They are all abuzz in the hive, song in nature play. And then off they scale to sing, bars a few by waggle. Over, under, between thy note, my song meander, do thee haggle. Wonderfully expressed poetry here. And I thought it was a beautiful write, and I wish you luck in the contest as well. Would you like to say anything about your write, sir?
You know, for probably the first week or two after I wrote it, I didn't really have any clue what I even thought of it, because it's so not like I normally write. And then the more I let it sit and kind of just simmer there, then I came back to it, and I really decided that, hey, you know, I kind of like the way it's weaved together. And so, you know, to me, it kind of touches on two things, the idea of nature and music. And, you know, I think some people would read it and it'll kind of, the blend of the two things will kind of get past them. But I think if somebody takes the time to read it closely and stuff, they'll like the poem. So,
I thought you did a fantastic job with it. Bobby, what did you think?
It had a Lewis Carroll feel to it. It was very rhythmic, a lot of wordplay in there. Obviously, it was done with a great deal of enjoyment, which when a writer writes like that, it reflects and it just leaps off the page. That you can tell that the writer was having a good time. And hum ho, rhythm and blather. I like that. and it's just, but just the wordplay is very agile, and it reads beautifully, and it's very entertaining.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby.
No, not at all. Let's see. Find my place here again. Okay. It can't be right. Let me refresh my screen. We had another Isabella tonight. We read this one.
No, that was another one.
Really? Okie doke. Never mind. Isabella gets around. Isabella, woman from Cadiz, by Peter Allen again. Isabella arrived on an Iberian flight from Malaga. at the arrivals hall, she ran to me with open arms. Elle, sunlight and gold. Tall and slender, her curves meander in gentle waves. Then with the touch of her hand, electric arpeggios play upon my skin. She blooms in overt femininity like a fragrant vermilion rose. During her stay with me, she taught me there are more than 24 hours in a day. With her, I basked in the light on the dark side of the moon. We have endured, in parallel, cruelly imprisoned lives, had sworn oaths to live like the Carmelite monks and nuns. But our pheromonal chemistry is an elixir de la passion. I tie her naked upon the altar of pagan ritual, commence the ceremony of touch and thrust until she quivers and shouts aloud the name of her deity. Drinking a glass of vintage Rioja, she sits astride me and bends to kiss the hand now writing this poem. She then whispers, escribe, no hay límites para nuestra pasión. Write, there are no limits to our passion. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, this is a touching poem. You know, you can feel the passion and the desire in it. Tall and slender, her curves meander in gentle waves. Then with the touch of her hand, electric arpeggios play on my skin. She blooms in overt femininity like a fragrant vermilion rose. During her stay with me, she taught me there are more than 24 hours in a day. With her, I bask in the light on the dark side of the moon. We have endured in parallel, cruelly imprisoned lives, had sworn oaths to live like Carmelite monks and nuns, but our pheromonal chemistry is an elixir de la passion. And then I tie her naked upon the altar of a pagan ritual, commence the ceremony of touch and thrust. She quivers and shouts aloud the name of her deity. Yeah, passionate and desirous for sure. What did you think, Sharp?
Yeah, I'm not going to reread everything you just read, but everything you just read is really well done. I mean, those are awesome lines all the way through what you just read. Yeah, overall, it's really well done. I'm going to have to go back and look at some Peter Allen poems, I think. I definitely like the way that they're written. Quality writes. Again, this one doesn't quite have the illusion stuff, but, you know, it does intrigue me. I'm not sure where Malog is at, and I would probably look that up if I had a moment to read it and take it in and stuff before commenting and those kinds of things. So, but overall, it's just an amazing piece of poetry.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, just to clear up the mystery, Malaga is a municipality of Spain. It's in the autonomous community of Andalusia, which is where he had her from in the first poem that we enjoyed. So that tracks. I think he has a muse here. This lovely, lovely lady, Isabella, is her muse. And we've got two poems this evening, both very deeply romantic, very sensual, he's unabashedly adores this lady and enjoys every nanosecond he spends with her. I wouldn't be at all surprised if you went to his page and there's a collection of Isabella poems. But that would, I think, be a beautiful assemblage, because he writes with such depth of feeling and appreciation for not only her, but her sensuality, her beauty, and the time that he is able to spend with her. So this is, I think, a very very romantic, very beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you for for commenting. I appreciate it. Okay, so I've run out of poems here. So if you guys wouldn't mind digging up a few of your sensual type poems, that would be great.
Let me go.
Mine is called The Last Chamber. Right.
Let me just see what I can find for you.
The Last Ember. She holds the mystery of lightning in her smile, striking the steeple of my church, ringing the bell for the last time before engulfing my world in flames. No sooner did the last ember fade beneath the ash, she looked into my eyes, raining down a torrent of emotions tied to the ether of our bond. The ash of my belief turned to mud and fed seeds born in the garden of her enlightenment, dedicating my faith to the scent of her desert breeze. No longer preaching from the pulpit, I fell to my knees and prayed for forgiveness, seeking atonement in the heaven of her laughter. She wrapped her wings around my shoulder, Guge Yu, in my ear. I crumbled then and there. She picked up the pieces scattered everywhere, then gently rebuilt her man with tender, loving care and home. What did you think, Bobby?
I like this a lot. I like the storytelling of it.
Can you post
I like the
real quick?
Sorry? Isn't it the last... Isn't it? The Last Ember?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like your storytelling. The visual imagery is beautiful. It's interesting. As a paragraph. I every time I'm reading poetry and I see a paragraph, it's kind of like my brain comes to a screeching halt. And I go, what? Wait a minute. I have to reboot. But this is a beautifully romantic. She wrapped her wings around my shoulders, whispering in my ear. I crumbled then and there. She picked up the pieces scattered everywhere. She built the man with tender, loving care. That is just beautiful. That is really deeply romantic and very tender and very loving. I really like this piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Sharp, what did you think?
Honestly, I haven't gotten a chance to really look at it, and I was thinking about trying to find a poem at the same time. Is there any chance you could post a link to it real quick? And
oh, I'm sorry, I didn't post a link to it. Oh, my goodness. There it is.
It's up there.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
well,
it's up there.
Thank you. Oh, I like that first line for sure. That's really cool. The striking of lightning on the steeple of my church. That's a really cool line. And I like the second line. It's a great follow-up to that first one, the ringing the bell for the last time before engulfing my world in flames. I'm sorry, I'm still kind of reading, so. Yeah, fine. It's the Garden of the Enlightenment thing, too. That's an interesting twist there, the seeking atonement in the heaven of her laughter. Chapter rings around this. That's really cool. I like the twist at the end of the rebuilding of the man and stuff that had crumbled from the lightning strike and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, and then I really like the title, very fitting as well, The Last Ember and everything. So, yeah, overall, that's a really cool poem.
Great comment. Thank you. I appreciate
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, I was delayed.
Well, that's okay. Okay, Bobby, would you mind reading your poem, please?
I threw a couple of them out there. Which one would you like?
The first one, please.
Okay, the moon comes to me?
Yes.
Okay. The moon comes to me. Here's the prompt. The wolf in me honors the full moon in you. I catch your scent before I see you, the night air redolent with your essence, and like a pheromone trail, I follow it to where you are. Your face appears before me in the darkness, rising like Diana's messenger, full, intense, luminous, bringer of ancient long past. The sight of you wakes primitive stirrings within voiceless urges and the yearnings of genetic memories, drive so strong they eclipse civilization's restraints. In the light of Sister Moon, our hungers seek each other out. At the mating of desperation and desire, we collide headlong, bodily descent to the warm earth and cool grasses. Mouths and hands lead and join, appetites deeply indulged, passion-thirsty mouths slaked, and touch-hungry hands sated. A bestial banquet feeds our famished, rapacious souls. The air around us igniting an inferno that feasts on touch, the conflagration of our contact burning hot in the cool light. As the blaze rises to crescendo, the song is heard. Your sister celestial satellite gazes down, illuminating us, power of stories, mistress of her mystical mythos. She watches the tale, hears the song unfold under her spell. Instinct knows that it is sung in a primitive voice, the bold elemental language of the wolf's song, intoned skyward toward the lustrous, opalescent glow. In each union, joy inspires us to sing of nature in pitch shadows, each bay and roll, each ululation growing, a full-throated howl, our canticle in the darkness. Come to me, my beloved, our harmonized howls echo. Let us recline beneath the moon and stars and sing our canon of congruence, of passion and love. Sister Moon knows our howl is our nocturne of our ardor. Songs of passionate conjoining, of blissful fusion, she listens and rejoices in our fervent conjugation. With the flame of our desire, we have breathed life into each other. Now the inferno is embers that lay glowing upon the grass. The banked fires receded, yet still burning low and steady. Breezes fan us like the warm euphony of the gods. Nature's lullaby whispered amid the leaves stirs the trees and wafts across the grass upon which we lay. In its ecstasy, my primordial spirit knows the truth of truths, that now whenever I chance to howl with passion's desire, I need only listen and wait, for the moon comes to me.
Yeah. Very cool.
That was beautiful. You know, such a tender and loving storyline. The sight of you wakes primitive stirrings within me, voiceless urges and the yearning of genetic memories drive so strong they eclipse civilization's restraints. You know, when you can let the world be and just be with your partner, that's a beautiful thing. Passionate and engaging and an excellent creation here, Bobby. Just a beautiful right-hand read. Absolutely. Sharp, what did you think?
Yeah, I love it all the way through as well. I like the instinct knows that it is sung in a primitive voice, the bold elemental language of the wolf song, and toned skyward toward the lustrous, opalescent glow. And then in union, joy inspires us to sing of nature in pitch shadows, each bay and roll, each ululation growing into a full-throated howl, our canticle in the darkness, and then I like getting down here toward the bottom where she kind of, you know, brings it all together in that last stanza. In its ecstasy, my primordial spirit knows the truth of truths, that now whenever I chance to howl with passion's desire, I need only listen and wait, for the moon comes to me. And, yeah, I just, like I say, I kind of like the last several stanzas. I just didn't want to rewrite reread the whole poem and everything. But, yeah, it's really well done, and love the way it closes.
Thank you very much.
Well,
I appreciate that.
Great comment. Thank you. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
I agonized over this one. It didn't come easily, but when it finally did start, because I wasn't quite sure where I was going to go with it when I opened it, but it started writing itself, so I just got the hell out of the way.
Right. Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And, okay, would you mind reading your poem, Sharp?
Sure. Let's see here. This one is a very recent write to a prompt. So, the flower's deception. Blossoms pop out of your sunshine. Marbled beauty and grace astride the valley of the charge of the light brigade. In your absence, I am Samson, conqueror of all before me. I lay flowers upon the graves of the jealous. In your arms, I inhale the aroma of the angel's trumpet. Toxic nightshades pull down over my strength and light. You take the blade to me for the first time. If only I had a flower for each time I thought of you, Delilah. I could walk through your garden forever.
Beautiful read.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and it's a touching poem, and it's based on a quote. If I had a flower for every time I thought of you, I could walk through my garden forever, by Alfred Tennyson. That's just beautiful. Fantastic imagery. You can feel the emotions in it, and it's just a beautiful presentation of poetry. Excellent write, excellent read, Sharp. Beautiful. And Bobby, what did you think?
Thank you.
I like this a lot. I like the classical feeling of it, the references to the charge of the light brigade. I like the identification. I am Samson, the conqueror of all before me. I lay flowers upon the grave of the jealous. I really like the metaphors in this, the word picture that it's painting, pulled down over my strength and light, you take the blade to me for the first time. Great lines, really great. And the closing, I like the way you tied it into the quote, the Tennyson quote. Very nicely done.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Frank? Sharp?
The idea of the reference to the charge of the light brigade is that it is the valley of death. Not sure if you guys are familiar with the charge of the light brigade, but to me it's one of the best poems that's based on a historical event. And the valley that's being referred to there is the Valley of Death. So this is referring to the idea that Delilah kind of causes the death of the powers of Samson. So, and then when you look at it, the angel's trumpet is a poisonous flower of the genus Toxic Nightshades. So anyways, I enjoyed writing this poem, and it's for Lu Yu. So it's one of her.
I like the title.
I feel like I didn't really necessarily meet what she was looking for in the thing, but this is where the quote kind of led me. So.
And see, that's the thing with writing to a prompt, you're never wrong. It's how you see it through your life filters, what it inspires you to think of, where it takes you. There's no wrong.
Yeah, that's why I like writing to people's prompts, is that it challenges you to undertake something that, you know, isn't necessarily from 100% inside you. I mean, you're responding to it out of your natural being, but the thing is that it's in response to something very much so outside of you.
Well, you're looking at something that other people are looking at, but you can be certain that you're seeing it through your life filters. Your life experiences are coloring what you see and how you think of it. And that's the great thing about poetry, is whenever a dozen people can look at the same picture, but you're going to see it 12 different ways because you've got 12 different life experiences looking at it. And you get to see through someone else's poetry, you get to see the world through someone else's eyes. That's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool to see the very different poems that come out of a single quote.
Oh, my, yes. Or artwork. You've written to our Crasis contests, I think, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought I saw. And that's the thing. It's funny, when I post the artwork, I can almost pick which ones are going to get written to. I don't know why. I'm very seldom in error. But very often, several different people will write to the same prompt, and it is absolutely fascinating to me to see the different interpretations of the same piece of artwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Bobby.
Absolutely.
Where are we going next, Coach?
Nice,
we're going to reach Corina. Corina with from you.
Okay. I will read Corina. Let me go back to where I posted it. There we go. Okay. For another contest. Okay. I forgot what the prompt was. I don't remember. It's for the artist abduction, Portraits of Intimacy, and the prompt was the artwork that's posted at the top. It was a little bit lighter. I darkened it deliberately because to reflect the poem. Corina. The merest suggestion of her unclad contours silently stand poised in the bedroom's darkened doorway, almost spectral, unsubstantial, her silhouette blending with the shadows. He more feels her presence than sees her, senses her, an almost imperceptible change in the barometrics of the room, as if from the introduction of an unseen radiance. Pausing, she makes her way into the bedroom, an almost undetectable breath of air, an imperceptible eupnea, a slight atmospheric pressure change. Or was it imagined? No, for he focuses his gaze and can barely detect her umbral prestidigitation performing a shadow show while her form coalesces and disperses as a veiled illusion. As she moves, the broken shadows play across her face. A faint glint of light and the sparkling eyes are disclosed. With a soft shimmer, the upturned corners of parted lips reveal. She proceeds with otherworldly silence, this dreamlike shade, her skin as incandescent as the moonlight playing across it. He now believes she is there, or he wants to, so urgently. Backlighted in the suffused argent glow from the window, the moonlit shadows wrap around her lubricious body, cloaking her indistinct nakedness in a gauze-like gown. He feels the bed move slightly, catches a waft of her musky scent, and she insinuates herself between the bedclothes. Her heat warms the air, and now he is certain he is not alone. Breathless, he hesitates for fear of interrupting this enchantment. The hesitation is short-lived as he feels her skin against his, and her hands slowly begin to explore his body. In his wildest imagination, he could never have dreamed of this. Nothing he had seen or felt before then could have prepared him for the flood of sensation which exploded across his senses. In that night, his perception of reality had been altered, for she had introduced him to a different universe of awareness, to sensuality so intense, pleasure so profound, truth had new meaning. The next morning, he woke to a completely different world, with new facts of existence that his mind could barely comprehend. Yet he knew it to be true. It had happened. She had been there. He gazed about the room and had held no evidence of her presence, save that the air was infused with the rich musk of her scent. Nothing to see or touch, not a trace of what he knew to be true. He could speak of it to no one, for that would have felt like sacrilege. And yet he knew the truth of it all, that he was hers, he was now hers. And he felt certain in the core of his being that this was only the beginning. For last night, she had initiated him into her world, spiritual, mythic, for she herself was the stuff of mythos so ancient, so antediluvian, that her existence was lost in antiquity, shrouded by time immemorial. This mystic being had chosen him, and she was not to be denied. Last night, he had wanted to know what to call her, her name. And when he asked, she spoke only one word in response. Karina. End poem.
Wow. That was a dreamy sensuality. You know, it's like this ghost appearing with flesh.
If you look at the author's note, there's a definition. Karina, in Arabic superstition, the Karina is a spirit similar to the succubus, with origins possibly in ancient Egyptian religion, or in the animalistic beliefs of pre-Islamic Arabia. A Karina possesses and sleeps with the person and has relations during sleep, as known by the dream. They're said to be invisible, but a person with second sight can see them, and only certain people are possessed and belong to the Karina.
Yeah. Wow, that's epic. You know, you took a mythical legend and turned it into this beautiful reality. Just a beautiful job, Bobby. It was mythical, endearing, ethereal. You know, you can feel the passion and the desire in this piece between the two as they spend their time together. I thought it was just truly beautiful. What did you think, Sean?
Yeah, I like the mythological feel to it as well. But I'm going to venture out on a pretty sturdy limb here and say that you're probably the only person that has the digitation in a poem. But it's beautifully into the concept and what you're saying. So, I mean, it's not a forced word in there. It truly fits with exactly what you're saying. And I do love that you included with it, you know, the footnote, because I think it adds value in the end. The poem itself can stand on its own for sure, but you know, it adds even more value to it, to me, to have that footnote at the end that kind of tells us about the connection to pre-Islamic Arabia and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad to hear that, because Gray Eyes will tell you that if I'm good for nothing else, I'm good for obscure references. I come up with some shit that, yes, right? I was like, where the hell did you? And I remember this stuff. See, I'm in this repository of an insane amount of trivia and information, and I can recall it at will. And so it's like people are going to be, where did you get that? I said, I read it. I remember shit that I read when I was 8 years old. So it's just this weird, quirky memory I've got. But so when I find that I'm using words, because my vocabulary is not artificial. I mean, this is all. Thank God I don't talk the way I write. Nobody would understand me. This is not artificial. This is me. I used to write professionally to do FCC filings for a trade association. So I write a lot. I've written a lot. One of the things I became aware of was sometimes I will say things that people will just look at me and go, I don't understand what you're talking about. So I've learned that I look at if something's even remotely suspicious to me, especially if it's mythology or something of that nature, I always include a glossary at the bottom, especially if I use a word like a lubricious. Prestidigitation. I thought everybody did that. But it's just my habit, because I'll use words that are very uncommon, but they feel comfortable to me. So it's that's just the way I write.
Yeah, you definitely use some pretty impressive vocabulary within your poems. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Because you got another one toward the end of the poem, too, that I was like, okay, let me think about that for a second.
Yeah. You're talking to someone who was when she was 2 years old, and this was recounted to me because I do not recall the incident, but the next door neighbors were enchanted with the new little blonde girl that had moved in next door, the little blonde little girl, and after the next door neighbor stood there and talked to me for about 5 minutes and baby talk, which my parents, by the way, never indulged in. They did not believe in it. My father said, I turned and looked at my father, and I looked at the neighbor, and I said, Uncle Bernie, you're ridiculous. I was 2 years old. I'm just the way my life's been going ever since. I used the word procrastination one time in boot camp and got 36 blank stares. It's like, oh, shit. You don't know what that means? So I've learned that very, very often I tend to use language that is unfamiliar to other people.
Well, you're educating us. That's a good thing.
It's just my desire for precision. I've got an engineering background, a heavy science background, and with science, there's usually a very precise word to describe something. And so I tend to seek that out in my poetry, too, exactly the precise word to use on something. And look at that. We've made it all the way to the end of the show.
We have, and I'd like to thank you both for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys letting me join you. I had fun.
Nice, John. Thanks for coming in. I expect
Absolutely.
To see you on Saturday now for my show. My show, 10 o'clock.
I won't be able to do that. It's my son's 21st birthday, so...
Oh, he's still 21. Okay. Hey, thanks, everyone. Good night.
Yeah. Have a good
night, everybody. Take care. Bye, everyone.